Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Welcome, citizens, to another edition of New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives, thinkers, and doers. I'll ask you how you're doing, but you know I always like to ask, so how you doing? Let me know and follow the show over at New Amsterdam. That's KNEW Amsterdam over on that, Instagram. And I think I'm also on Threads, although I'm never on Threads as much as I should. Is anyone still doing Threads? I feel like already hit the boomer status. You know, back in my day, there was a thread. As I record this, I'm burning the midnight oil. Not really. It's like after 8 o'clock on a Monday evening, but it does feel like I'm burning the midnight oil because I've been at my desk all day just getting my bearings in the new year. How has the new year affected you? Are you ahead of the projects or you're behind? Trying to do some things on the personal tip, trying to expand myself as an individual, because hopefully that would influence myself as a creative. So I'm taking classes for undisclosed reasons. I'm working on projects that are kind of secret now, and that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to do things for yourself and yourself alone, even if like you do things for public. Like if you are a songwriter, it's okay to have songs you write perform, and it's equally as okay to have songs that you just hold on to yourself. You know, it's very cool and part of the creative process. And well, speaking about music, my guest this week is Jonathan Taylor, a classical guitarist who was just on a tour of the world and now just hitting the next chapter of his career. He practices every day. He has projects in the mix and a litany, almost 36 music albums. And that is a lot of work. We joke about it on the show, and I've joked about it before, but my discography is, what, 2 comedy albums, 2 comedy singles, and 2 novelty songs and 3 novelty songs. By the way, the new one, Professional, is available now on Spotify and iTunes, so check out Professional. But to do that consistently, music, I mean, and songs consistently is something to behold. So being able to chat with someone who plays the instrument I kind of wish I knew how to play is also very charming. And you're going to enjoy it too. I think there was a bit of a kinship I was developing while the interview was going. But before I get into all that stuff, just gotta say, if you haven't already, and we're looking for tickets to events and shows all around your town, or even in towns you're visiting, that's a pro tip. I use SeatGeek when I'm flying into a town. It doesn't matter if it's LA or New York or Toronto, London. Use SeatGeek to get the best seats in the house. Although I'm not really sure about London. Whatever. Use promo code FLOBITO. That's FLOBITO for $20 off your first order. Like last summer, I took my friend out to a Dodger game, used the code, got $20 off. Now, Inter Miami, which is the team Lionel Messi plays for, is going to be here in Los Angeles in March. And I bet you can use that if you want to see the greatest of all time up close. So make sure you use my promo code, FLOBITO, FLOBITO, over at SeatGeek. And if you guys know that I was a big fan of Florida Grid League, it's now the United Grid League. And last season, we were a proud sponsor of the Orlando Aces, and hopefully we get to cheer them on as they roll on now the champs for the upcoming season of United Grid League. If you haven't checked out the Orlando Aces already, make sure you do and tell them New Amsterdam and FLOBITO sent you. But enough of the house cleaning, housekeeping, house whatever. It's now time for my chat with the Jonathan Taylor. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boys, in the mayor's office, hanging with those who are doing the darn thing. And well, my guest and I have crossed paths in a way you didn't think before, because a long, long time ago, I thought I had skills to play classical guitar, but it wasn't the case. But my guest does it so well. Please give it up for Jonathan Taylor. What's going on, sir?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to meet you, finally.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually a real person. I'm not an algorithm. Before we went live, even before I hit my first question, we're talking about the West Indies, because my parents are from Barbados, but you've been. And so you were able to
know his fiance, isn't she?
Rihanna's from Barbados. Rihanna's from Houston, okay. I believe. But what's been your experience out there in the West Indies, man?
I love the West Indies. It's one of my very favorite places. I played in Frank Collymore Hall there. American government, I was like America's musical ambassador, to where we set up master classes there, played concerts there, because Cropover Festival, as you know, and had many groups in that. And so did lots of stuff there for the American government. I played a concert at the ambassador's residence and raised about $25,000 for the Special Olympics. Wow. And with all the glitterati, UN delegates and all the, what shall we say, the glitterati of the culture, yeah. Right? And so I love Barbados. It's one of my very favorite. I played there many times.
So let's take a step back. You are a man of many talents, but the first talent I came across was your guitar skills. And well, no one tells me about how many calluses you need to be a guitarist, but what was your original moment when you're like, this is actually the instrument I can use to show people my talents as a musician?
Well, you know, honestly, I was like 4 years old and I'd be walking around the house with a ukulele trying to pick tunes out. Now, my grandmother, and what is the influence? My grandmother was a silent film organist that was extremely popular in her day, played with all the stars you know of that era, Charlie Chaplin, Keystone Cops, what's the great stone face? Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton.
And Lon Chaney Sr., the man of a thousand faces, and also a lot with Harry Houdini. So when people say, your grandmother played with Harry Houdini, I go, all the time. I go, he was out, you know, of course, he's an East Coaster like yourself. But he would tour the Pacific Northwest and she would be working for Fox, who owned the Orpheum Circuit, which was a vaudevillian circuit before films became, talkie films became mm-hmm. the big whoop-de-doo, right? And I go, you would be playing a silent film of the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Jules Verne novel. And, you know, that would be the background. Of course, in Houdini's case, he'd be, you know, locked in with the chains in the water, you know, and oh, he's going to die and, you know, right. All that. And she'd be, da, 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 right, dramatically doing his performance. So the background initially, I think, was from me hearing music since, you know, came out of the womb. Yeah. And then later on, I heard Segovia, Andres Segovia, the great classical guitarist of the last 100 years. And I saw him in concert when I was 16 and listened to his recordings before at Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in downtown Los Angeles, and couldn't believe not just the beauty of the guitar, but polyphonic, many voiced, as the technical prowess is, you know, the hardest instrument in the world to play. And I don't say that because I'm a player, but because I'm an orchestral composer and know all the other instruments as well. And Heifetz used to say, the hardest instrument in the world to play is the violin, with the exception of the classical guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so even though it's difficult, I go, well, I used to train violinists when I was a teacher at the Newport Institute of the Arts in Orange County, California. And violinists would say, how do you do all the double stops, meaning the dyads, triads, tetrachords? We just call them chords commonly. And I go, well, that's part of the thing. And of course, a violinist is not doing that, only occasionally, right? Only right. Occasionally are they doing dyads, like Bach chaconne or something. I go, usually it's single string.
Sure.
So as you know, as a guitarist yourself. So, you know, I wanted to not only master the instrument and do all the masterpieces, which I've recorded. I have 32 albums, and I have an application, by the way, that you can download for free. It's free. Did I say it was free?
How much is it?
Yeah, how much is it? Yeah. So, and I go, you can go to Google Play if you're an Android user, or iOS, you know, Apple Store, if you're Apple phone, iPhone, and just type Jonathan Taylor, no space, and it'll immediately pop up. And it's for free. There's all sorts of performance videos, audio files, posts, you know, all sorts of good stuff.
I'll let the record say I'm actually a failed guitar player. So like I've tried and failed about that. You know, because I wanted to – first I was acoustic, and I will tell you one. I studied abroad one semester. I was in Costa Rica, not to flex, as the kids say. But that was the first time I remember there was a group called Strunja Farah, and they had dropped a new album, and I heard a classical guitar album, like an entire like expression sure. throughout many sure. tracks. So because you know classical gas, like, you know what I mean? But like but this was the first time I was like, oh my god.
And Mason Williams was a writer on the Tommy Smothers Brothers show. Tommy just died, of course, right? And yeah, yeah. I thought, well, Mason Williams was basically a writer on that show. So go yeah. on, I interrupted you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but it just, I've never saw such a long-form expression with an instrument. So I came back from Costa Rica, like, I'm going to be the next Strunja Farah, and that lasted, like, 6 weeks. You have dedication, I don't, sir. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and you asked about calluses, so I'll tell you off the air. So I'll tell you a little something. I go, well, you don't really, you only develop a little bit, and why is that? And I go, most people develop too much calluses. And why is that? And I go, because they're putting too much pressure on the string and that can build up tension. And of course, develop more calluses. So when people say, do I have calluses? I go, not that much more than what an average person would have.
Right. Oh man, I just love
a little bit because you're touching, you know, it has to be a little that the dermis puts up that protection.
So talk to me. You go to parties and someone's already, have a basic familiarity of what you do. You drop the app, which is available now. Make sure you download it. What do people ask? Like, what do you do? They say, are you having fun? They say you have a real job. Are they just on board with you? Is it kind of hard for them to fathom being able to be a musician and travel these gigs?
That's a great question. Yes. I think it's hard because music was taken out of the schools. Right. Mm-hmm. Mostly. And I go, well, that's really the birth of rap. You know, right. The kids wanted to make music and they didn't have any means to do so because the orchestras or choir were, you know, pared down to very minimal in schools. And I go, well, the birth of rap is that because I go, well, they want to make music and you haven't given them instruments and instruction. So they created that art form for themselves. Yeah. I go, what are they to do? You know, if you can't teach them violin because there's no money for the budget, I go, they'll think of something.
What have you done during lean times when the gigs aren't coming and you're practicing the best you can, but things are not lining up? Did you have to go day job life? Did you like eat like bread sandwiches? Well, like, how did you navigate?
Yeah. So to answer that, I was very fortunate to have a very successful concert career and recording career. But when you're talking about lean times, I actually have a California real estate broker's license. I studied businesses. I owned different businesses. I owned a personnel service that I started on $0 and got it up to a $3 million billing in about 14 months. Okay. And I did that by just walking the industrial sections and knocking on doors. And so do I have a background other than classical guitar? Yes. And that was business. And so during lean times, as you're saying, well, think about it. In the 90s, you know, the whole music industry, the recording industry was destroyed.
By? Right?
By the MP3 file. Mm. Once you got off vinyl and tapes and CDs and people were downloading the MP3s, Napster came up. And you would download all these bootleg albums. And so I go, well, that actually destroyed the record industry until Steve Jobs came along and said, you can put it all on this iPod. And he told the musicians, you're going to get 99 cents a song. And many of the musicians were upset. And he said, well, then you'll get nothing. Hmm. They wanted the whole album to be sold. So what I'm getting at is that when the industry made its transition in the 90s, I was kind of, I believe in always jumping on, like AI, for instance, is a new technology, of course. Sure. And I go, well, I knew that digitally that I had to record everything digitally and that analog was dead because of the MP3 file and how it was distributed now with streaming and all that downloads, as you know. So I had the foresight to realize a lot of people resist those things. I go, you can't resist the change in technology. It's just like AI. Right. I go, it'll be everywhere. It's already everywhere.
True.
Yeah. And which we said off the air, I go, tremendous upside. They can map a protein. It takes 5 years for a human being to map one of the proteins inside your body. There's thousands of them, probably millions. And I go, it took 10 minutes for the AI. And why is that important? I go, because now you can create a medicine to react with that protein and cure or prevent or slow down or improve, you know, your medical condition. And that's a wonderful upside. The downside is, and I'm not trying to talk on and on here, but we're talking about that. Right. But I saw a video, and here's what I call the dark side of AI. I saw a video of this guy, technicians, about five technicians, trying to train five humanoid-looking robots, putting the AI in them, training them to do household tasks.
Okay. Right?
Open a can, sweep the floor, whatever. Household, clean the dishes. And so they're opening a can, and, you know, one robot is about halfway through, and he's learning how to open a can. And another one is, you know, doesn't know what to do. So it's a training session. The technicians are all there standing with their lab coats and their, you know, clipboards and pencil behind their ear. And so all of a sudden I saw this one robot, and he picked up the can and he threw it into the chest of the technician. And people say, well, was he thinking? I go, I have no idea what he was doing. All right. But I can tell you that if you were in the CIA, they'd say that's a threat. And why? And I go, because he has capacity. Right. He has the capacity to harm somebody. And I go, fortunately, the gentleman wasn't injured. You know, it could have been just hard enough or broken his breastbone and stopped his heart. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so I go, there's a downside to the AI. Right.
Sure.
There's the downside. Or, you know, you can't even know what's true anymore. And what to trust. Hmm. Because they can write articles. They write articles and then they do these citations. And one of them I saw, all the citations were false.
Oh, wow.
Like saying, I got this information from, you know, the New England Medical Journal, right? And, but it's not in there and it's all fake.
Do you use AI with your creations? No,
I don't. But the record company, I'm with Warner Brothers and Hit Lab. Under contract with them for my just the last year I got with them. And they've released one. They're in the process of releasing another one of my albums, the Guitar Chronicles album. If you just type Jonathan Taylor guitar into Google, you'll find all sorts of stuff. But then my Guitar Chronicles albums, they release, and I go, oh, and what are they doing to promote it? I go, they use AI.
Okay. Wow.
AI kind of finds where the listeners are. Right? Like it could be in Thailand or it could be in Barbados, you know, mm-hmm. It could be anywhere. It doesn't, you know, Japan. And it finds out these people like this type of music. And it's different than the algos in the last few years. It's different. It's right. A more sophisticated way of presenting the musical material to the people. To either reject it or accept it.
When you, I assume you get to look at your charts and see where you're big, but is there a country or a part of the world that surprises you? Like one of my podcasts, for example, it's huge in Angola. And I don't know why, but it always makes me chuckle.
As an artist yourself, this is how artists are. They're always surprised. So am I surprised? I go, well, here's what I was surprised about. The age range, you would think, it's with classical, and by the way, we're going to talk about the different types of genres I do, but I go, you would think, oh, they're going to be 55 years old or something. I was surprised at the demographic. The demographic is 18 through 34.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's a young demographic. It's not grandma, right?
Right, right.
And so what I've done, though, and maybe this is part of the reason, and I'm being promoted as an indie artist, not a classical, that I think that I have 32 albums, that's 325 tracks, and across many genres. And what do I mean by that? And I go, well, for example, I have transcriptions I've done of pieces by Gershwin. There's jazz right there, right? Or by Scott Joplin, right? And those semi-jazz ragtime pieces are very different than, let's say, a Spanish masterpiece, Recuerdos de la Alhambra by Tárrega, you know. Or I've also transcribed, believe it or not, psychedelic pieces on guitar, transcribed for solo classical guitar, and I transcribed film scores. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, I took, transcribed part of that film score and the pieces that you know, the songs that you know from it. And American Folk Songs, I've taken the James Bond films and done some of their themes and put it in there. It's on those that Guitar Chronicles album.
Yeah. Well, that actually leads to my next question. When you come to, because you said over 30 albums, 32 albums, over 300 tracks, is this a situation where you get inspired for a certain song and goes, oh, that'd be good for this project? Or is it kind of like, hey, look, you know what? I haven't done a film score album in a while. Let me start with the album concept first and find songs to fill in.
It's usually that I hear something and I said, that would work, you know, and then sometimes they don't work. You know, to be honest, I go, well, I've also got half finished pieces. I go, this will not work. It's not going to adapt well. And that, so it's just on the back burner on the shelf. Right. So I usually have to be moved by the song. I like it, or the film or whatever, you know, that I'm connected with it in some way. But I have appreciation of all genres of music. I mean, I love all types of music. So, I mean, I can, I have albums that are like pieces from Poland, you know?
Right.
I mean, all sorts of obscure stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess a project, is it done when it's done? Do you put yourself in a hard cycle of this time has to pass before this project is completed? Like, what is your process week to week when it comes to creating these projects?
Right. So right now I'm out here in Palm Springs. I live in Huntington Beach, California, but I spend a lot of time out here. Why? Filming. Right. And what am I doing? I go, I'm filming performance videos, which are on my app, and maybe a lesson. And so I'm out here. My daily is I'm learning right now the Grand Jouet, which is like a 15-page piece. Probably 20 people in the world can play it. So it's a very complex, technically difficult piece and takes a long time to learn. It's on the level of like the Chaconne, the Grand Overture, Leyenda, and those are big masterpieces of the genre. And so right now my process is learning those pieces and filming.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Do you carve out a day and go, this is my normal practice time, or do you wait for the inspiration to strike? Like, how do you
I pretty much do when I feel like it, but I usually play, I probably play at least 40 minutes a day, but I don't necessarily have to play. I don't like it when I miss it more than one day playing. Right. I don't like it. I'm connected to that, and it's tugging at me, it's calling to me, right?
Yeah.
Go play.
Yeah, that's always a good sign. That's about the life. And your neighbors are fine with that, or you have to soundproof your house, or what's the deal with
it's
that?
It's not loud. You probably couldn't hear it for more than a room, you know.
Okay.
You're playing in a classical guitar, so it's not that loud.
Okay. Well, my next door neighbor here in this apartment complex has the acoustic, and I could totally hear him, but it's fine.
Oh, okay.
It's like a big
where I'm at here, it's big.
Yeah, yeah. Manhattan Beach is a cool vibe on the Porto side. Definitely in those old thick houses, you could probably right. You could probably scream in those rooms and no one would really know.
Right.
Well, as we record this, it's January 2024, and you're already on Palm Springs working and hustling, but do you have the roadmap for the next 12 months?
I'm working on a sync manager puts film tracks into films. So I'm starting to work on the sync stuff. I'm open to having a new management, as the last 3 years, there's COVID. There's no such thing as concerts the last 3 years. I mean, now there is, but right. I mean, for the last 3 years, the Rolling Stones didn't tour, right? I mean, nobody toured. So that and recording, having the sync management stuff, and that's really what I'm up to.
When I mean, sorry, kind of a tangent now, because you mentioned management. I mean, how is that? Is it difficult to switch management, or is it kind of like, you know what, you're not working for me, and I'm going to find that transition? Like, is that process, is it get easier or harder with a body of work? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I think that now that I'm kind of established, I mean, like, you've seen the Pandora categories that, you know, he's an established artist. I have not had management for the past 3 years because I didn't really need it for anything. But now things are opening up, obviously, you know, things are back kind of to normal.
Yeah. Right? I gotta ask, and it's okay if you don't have an answer for this one.
Sure.
What's been a performance where you just absolutely hated, man? Hype was real. People bought tickets. They all sat down for a concert and you're like, dang, sorry, y'all.
Well, I didn't, there's nothing that I hated, but I can tell you that one performance, a stalker was trying to kill me.
Go on.
Yeah, so I was in India, in Madras, and I'd already been in the country like 3 weeks because I did Bombay and Pune and other cities. And India is a giant country, the biggest the U.S., right? So it's, you know, long flight times, like if you were to go to New York from here, right? So there are ruins in Madras from the ancient Mughal emperors that were there, you know, 10,000 years or whatever. And I went down, I had a driver that was taking me down. You know, India is a country that really has the infrastructure that the British put there. There's not really much infrastructure made after the British left in 47. Mm-hmm. And so I go, everything's like Art Deco. Everything is like a British, what are they, cricket clubs.
Yeah.
Right. And I go, so I was being taken down. There was a concert that night. And during the day, the concert was going to be held at a replica of Albert Hall, a perfect replica of Albert Hall in London. And it's a great concert for about 5,000 about. And so I was being taken down by this driver to see these ruins, which were probably 50 miles south of Madras. And he was unfortunately mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And so he, by his behavior, we had lunch on the beach, looked at the ruin. I could tell he was aggressing and he was... And I kind of, even though I felt sorry for him because of his mental illness, I knew my life was in danger. So I let him know that if he tried anything, he'd pay a price.
Okay.
Even though I'm a very gentle person, I'm not going to allow somebody to kill me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and also I may be a little tougher than I look. So the... So that night, as we got back, I told the promoters, and I would never betray a promoter. I'm a very, you know, dutiful and integrity person. I would never, you know, go back on my word with anything. But I told him, I said, that guy is effing nutso, and mm-hmm. he's out of his mind. And I will not play the concert if he's there, because I know he'll try to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they were in total agreement with everything I was saying and apologetic and all that. And I go, well, it's not your fault, you know. So I've had many, many adventures. I have a little series on the app that is called Adventures in Touring, because I've been everywhere. And I met like the head of JPL. I've played in, you know, Romania. In the Philippines, in the Amazon, in, you know, many, many strange and diverse places, not just Europe and America, North America.
You know, first question, did you pay the concert or no? I wasn't sure. Okay. I wasn't sure. They were kind of like, the show was canceled.
They, you know, yes, of course, you're right. And so they were on the lookout and all that stuff. It's fine.
Okay. And but a lot it wouldn't
have been fine if he would have been there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you thought your life was in danger. On the show, though, we ask all of our guests the following question, because it dovetails what you just said. Do you still have a travel bucket list? And if so, what countries are left on it?
Hmm. You know, there's, I've never been to Amsterdam.
Oh, fitting.
I've never been to Amsterdam.
Yeah, there's still time.
Yeah, there's still time. I'd like to go to Amsterdam. I'm trying to think of the country. I've never been to Spain.
Really? You would think that's like number one.
Yeah. I've never been to Spain. I've been a lot of places, Greece and Germany and France and England. And, you know, I haven't been to Ireland either. But do I have, you know, I love the world. So, I mean, I don't care. For instance, I've been all over Egypt. And, you know, Barbados, of course. And then Brazil. And so I'm open to going almost anywhere.
Absolutely. That is so much fun. Let's talk about future projects. Talk about your roadmap, but is there any album on the horizon we should be looking out for right
yes.
now?
Yes. Right now there is being, they do a, like a 6-week promo thing on my album Psychedelic Love that will be released in, let's say, I don't know, March, let's say. And because they do a pre thing and before the actual release date. And so that's coming up, and that is really a, and I have videos of them on my app, of some of the pieces, not all of the pieces. And, you know, for instance, I did a version of Ichiku Park and did a version of You Leave Me Hanging On. I mean, many things that you would say, what the hell does that have to do with classical guitar? And I go, one of the things in my youth, even though I loved all the classical guitar repertoire, this is not disparaging to it at all, but I always said, I go, yeah, but there's hardly any American music on it. Yes, there's some Gershwin. Yes, there's Scott Joplin. Okay, those are Americans. I go, but there's not that much. And so I took it upon myself to add to the classical guitar repertoire and transcribe pieces heretofore never adapted, like the Wizard of Oz piece, for example, or the James Bond pieces, and the American folk songs. I have an American medley 1, 2, and 3. Two of them are on that Guitar Chronicles album. And there's a Bond medley, James Bond, of, you know, that of the 007 movies. Yeah. So let me explain it in one other way, if I haven't been too long-winded here. I think that I'm what it's called a crossover artist. And that means even though I'm a classical guitarist and do all the masterworks, you know, all the repertoire that people know, but I'll give you an example. Back in the day, there was a country artist named Hank Williams.
Yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Played, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How about cooking up something up for me? Mm-hmm. And I go, but he was a niche audience, a very small audience, only country. And I go, well, that type of country is a very small audience. And then along came 30 years later, Glen Campbell. And so people say, well, what do you mean by that? And I go, well, is Glen Campbell country? Yes, but not really. Is he folk and rock? Yes, but not really. In other words, he crossed over the genres and made a new way. And I go, all the country people that are out there, most of them are, could not have existed without Glen Campbell, Shania Twain, Garth Brooks, all these country people. Mm-hmm. I go, well, they're nothing like what Hank Williams was. Right. Their sound and their emphasis and their focus is totally different. So what I wanted to do and am doing and have done with the guitar, classical guitar, is to take it out of a narrow niche and give it a wider repertoire.
And yeah. And well, like most of us who play music, it's only a matter of time before a kid taps you on the shoulder and says, play a Bad Bunny, right?
Right. Play Bad Bunny.
It's like, I DJ weddings. I still get that. Hey, play Bad Bunny.
My Bad Bunny was out here at Coachella. I've been out here filming. So Bad Bunny was out here at the Coachella thing, you know, the festival here, a couple of months ago.
Oh, and yeah.
So they were pinning out here.
Yeah. It's going to be like the, you're gonna hear it in all my epitaph as a DJ, wedding DJ. Play Bad Bunny. That's
yeah.
Well, Jonathan Dalal, thanks so much for being on New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creative thinkers and doers.
You're welcome.
Now, here's the fun part. If someone wants to connect with you, talk with you, book you for an event, how do they go about doing that?
You just go to download the app, number one. And if you go to my Instagram, which is download the app, Jonathan Taylor, either from Google Play or from iOS, meaning Apple Store. And that's one thing to see background. Then if you go to my Instagram, I've got 13,000 followers on Instagram. And there is, you can message me on that. And that's JT Classical Guitar Mastery is the handle for Instagram. JT Classical Guitar Mastery.
Wow, 13,000 followers. Jealous. Thanks so much for being on the show.
But you're on your way. You're on
cross your fingers. Stand by.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW Amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.